Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got you. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys, show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're still on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm not your tight end. I'm Marcus Dash, co-host with Chief Concerns with our guy, former Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn, who is currently on vacation, and he will be joining us shortly. We're having some technical difficulties, but you know, it's generally what happens when vacation. You got your different gadgets. You don't have your full assortment of your computer and all that stuff. But yeah, so happy to have a show this week, the eve before training camp begins, loosely begins, tomorrow. Quarterbacks and rookies report to training camp, St. Joseph's. So it's gonna be a good one tonight. Probably a shorter show than we're used to. Sorry for getting on here a little late, guys. I had to do some stuff, and JD is getting his stuff together over there in at the beach right now. So yeah, hold on, I'm helping him out. I'm helping him get situated here. Hold on a second, guys. But how is everybody? I you know, Monday shows, we've left it in as a thing where it's you guys ask away your questions, especially, you know, once we get to season, Monday show is usually grade show where JD will grade everything that he sees the night before. There's Susan, there's JD's wife there. She's enjoying the beach with JD as we speak right now, while JD gets his stuff set up on the other end here. But yeah, guys, ask away your questions tonight. We're going to go into a lot of different things you guys have. You guys have been amazing. I just want to say that. You guys have been amazing on the Monday show, just going in, asking all questions, regardless of, you know, position, everything. Stuff that I don't even think of sometimes. And so you guys have been amazing, kind of holding the court for your Monday show. I'm seeing some college football, college EA Sports. College is back. Yeah, I'm really happy it's back. I haven't played it. So obviously, 2014 was the last one that came out. So yeah, I'm getting ready to buy that within the next week or so. My thing is, I noticed that they got rid of Ghost Hunter. I know you're playing it right now. So for Road to Glory, they got rid of playing high school football in the game, and that was probably one of my favorite parts about the game, where you can, you know, you play your senior season, you dominate, and then you go into and then you pick whatever school you want to go to. But what it just starts at whatever school, you can choose whatever school you want. I think, I don't know, the senior year of the high school is probably one of the best parts of that game. So it's unfortunate they got rid of that. I was also a big fan of the mini game they had. What was it? Tug of War, where each opponent gets a possession and you kind of move where the spot of the ball is at each start. It's 1-1 and 1-1. A big fan of that game. I don't know if they brought that back, but please let me know if they bring back Tug of War, because that was a game that me and my buddies used to play
before going out, just put on a quick game of tug of war and play that. Are we looking forward to the Olympics? Charles Driver, the nice question there. You're damn right we are. Well, at least I'm ready to watch. I'm ready to watch the USA basketball team, the Olympics, the Olympic swimmers, and the gymnasts too as well. Uh-oh, we got the man of the hour coming on here. There he is. Can you hear me, JD? JD, your audio is off, buddy. Your microphone is off. I see in the Okay, well, JD's on, so we got the visuals, guys. We got the visuals. Our tight end is here. Our guy is here. Yeah, JD, your microphone is not on, buddy. Yeah, it says mic off. Let me see. I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, perfect. Good.
There he
good.
Is.
Hey, what's up? What is up, man?
Look at that backdrop. Look at that. This is amazing. Paradise.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous, man. Sitting right here on the beach. You know, sweating my tail off.
I think everybody on the East Coast and in the Midwest is sweating their tail off too, JD. It was 100 degrees today in Virginia. It's going to be 100 tomorrow as well. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Oh, man. It's crazy right now, man. It's so humid out here, but it's so beautiful as far as, like, you know, the water is perfect. You know, we're sitting over here about to eat dinner as a family.
Nice.
You know, so.
That's there she is. Wow, so first ever person to be on the chat and in the video at the same time. Susan, look at that. She's in the chat and in video. There you go.
So I don't know, like somehow my iPad is not picking it up. I had to go to Safari and all those different things. So I'm just doing it off my phone right now.
Okay.
So, yeah. Man, how's everything going? How's everybody? So I see y'all. I see Don in here, Ghost Hunter, Charles Driver, Vegas Chiefs, Wendy, Louis Cutbirth, Big Sexy, from Richmond, VA, Andre Chenault. Welcome. Good seeing everybody out here for the night. So Zulu, John Clifford, what's going on, y'all? Everybody doing all right?
Yeah, we have a lot of people in the chat are excited about the new college football. The EA Sports college football is back. NCAA is back. JD hadn't had a game since 2014, and first time back in 2024. Yeah, so long ago. Wow. JD Denard Robinson was on the cover of NCAA football.
Wow. Oh, great, man! That was a while ago. That was a while ago.
So, long time ago.
No, it's exciting though. It's exciting. You know, I'm. You know, I was never really a big college EA guy. You know, I love Madden. The only time that I really started kind of following, I guess when I was in college, you know, trying to look at some things then. But I don't know, something about the game now, it kind of bothers me with the, you know, with all the new stuff. It's not realistic to me. You know, offense is too easy. Defense is kind of, you know, but, you know, we know offense sells tickets. So,
yeah. Yeah. I will say the gameplay, there's two things. There's one criticism that I always hear every year with Madden is the fact that it's literally they just update the rosters. There's really not that much of a difference in gameplay from year to year. They kind of keep it the same. And, like, you know, some people have, you know, critiques of the game every year, but there's, like, usually not much updating as far as the way the guy runs and all that stuff, but it just pretty much they just update the rosters. Whereas if you look at NBA 2K, they do a lot of different updates with the game every year, and that's why 2K dominates it as far as their sales versus Madden sales, and they do a lot more for the game than what Madden does. Madden, it's just kind of they think they've found a formula, set and forget. They just pump it out every year the same way.
Oh yeah, yeah. So but, you know, it's a moneymaker. We understand that.
Yeah. But hey, at least players are getting paid for it now with their names and likeness in the game now, so that's pretty sweet.
That's right.
You know. So JD, I know you're on vacation. I kind of told the chat we're gonna have a kind of a quick show tonight. You know, it's a vacation episode. And I told them to get their questions in. But JD, so tomorrow rookies and quarterbacks report to training camp. And so obviously it's first training camp for a lot of guys. And I just wanted to ask you because you know you went to training camp as a rookie in Philadelphia. And then 2000, you go from Philly to Kansas City. And I, you know, it, for me, because I transferred three times when I was in college. So I went to three different schools. And like for the first day of school at the at school for my, when I the first school I went to, going from high school to that, there was nerves, especially when I was going to play football too. I was, it was a lot of nerves there. You're getting dropped off in mid-July, and it's like, oh man, like this is it. And the difference between that and then going from a new team to a different team's training camp. What are the differences in the first type of training camp for you? The, I guess the different types of first times.
You know what? I think when you go into it, you don't really have any type of expectations. You know, you're still trying to learn as you go. You just don't know what to expect, really. That's the thing about it. And so trying to make that transition from college into the NFL, it's nerve-wracking. It absolutely is nerve-wracking. And so you know that, well, first off, I'm coming in, I'm being challenged. You know, this is where I kind of make my mark getting into the NFL. And so it's all about the competition. And so the guys that's in front of you and the ones that's projected first round, second round, third round guys, are potential starters. But the thing is, if it doesn't pan out, if it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, man, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on you. And so I just remember my first training camp kind of going into it. Like I said, everybody comes in walking on their toes with their chest sticking out, trying to look bigger than what they really are. But it really is trying to find your way. You know, it's you know, like I said before, it's really nerve-wracking. So that in itself, just the whole process of learning a new playbook, because the thing is, that's another thing, like retaining the information. It's going to be so much information thrown at you day in and day out. You're not going to have time to really play Madden or, you know, go out on the town. Like, you got to be in your your old college room dormitory, because that's what they're going to be in a dormitory, and you got to learn the playbook. And guys are going to be in there studying. And the thing is, if you're not studying your craft and getting better, and you're not retaining that information, then you will not play. You will not start. And so everything starts from there, man, training camp coming in. And so with the older guys coming into like year three or four, they kind of know what to expect. They know what training camp's all about. They understand how many days it's going to take until all the bumps and bruises set in, all the pain. How do you manage it as far as taking care of your body? So it's all those different things. And another thing that the rookies, when they come into it, is the hazing. Okay. I know we're not supposed to haze. You know, it's one of those things that's supposed to be off the books. But I guarantee you, guys are going to get hazed coming into training camp. And so they got to be ready for that too, man. That in itself is nerve-wracking. I had a great batch of guys that took care of me when I came in. 13-year vet and 10-year vet. And they made sure that I was their rookie and nobody else messed with me. But that was the greatest thing ever. So this really is the expectation, though, you know, just kind of going down to it.
Now, so, and then on the other end, as a veteran going to a new team and experiencing a new training camp and a new roster of guys, how was that for, because obviously back in the day, it's a little different than what it was now, right? Where now these guys hate each other up on Twitter. They can go work out with each other months before training camp. Back in the day, really, it wasn't like that. I mean, I'm sure you knew some guys on the team, but like, it wasn't as the access wasn't there as what it is now, where it's like you couldn't hit up Tony G in the summer, like, hey man, I'd love to get to know you, I want to go work out with you. Whereas back then, it's a little different. You're meeting these guys a lot of day one of training camp. Is that a little nerve wracking for veterans? Was that kind of a nerve wracking thing for you?
Somewhat. You know, it's the same thing because people know your name. So when you're coming in, everybody has the same expectation. Like, well, this guy was this guy here with the Commanders or with Seattle, and he comes here, this is what we're expecting out of him. But I think what really helps it out is the rapport that you have with the coaches. And the coaches are the ones that kind of ingratiate you into the whole process, the team in itself. And the thing is, man, if you got a good name, people respect it. And so that's like one of those things like, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you on our team, and guys will pay homage to you because of the things that you've done in the league. So I think you know, coming from, into a new team, I think it's an easier process. It really is an easier process because you already have the name established. So that makes a lot, I think so, a whole difference to dealing with it as opposed to a college guy coming in and you ain't caught one football in the NFL. You ain't blocked not one guy. And you're supposed to be, you know, the cock of the town. And you come in, you might not be the guy. All right. So you got to earn your stripes. But the guy that's been in the league, man, he's already earned those stripes, man. He's getting respect immediately when he comes into that building.
Now, so back in the day was – so obviously a few days before the real training camp starts, rookies and the quarterbacks got to be there a little bit earlier. Was that a thing back in the day for you as well?
No. No, everybody came in at the same time. Gotcha. That's how it was. And to be honest with you, I prefer it that way, that everybody comes in at the same time. That way it's no hierarchy as far as thinking like, okay, you know, here's the rookies and they got to work out two or three days before then. Like, no, everybody needs to come in at the exact same time because everybody's on the same level. And so when you have older guys, maybe like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, you know, those guys want to be thought of as like, look, we just, you know, regular teammates. We want to make you comfortable while you come in here. And we want to be treated the same. Now, obviously, everybody can't be treated the same, right? You treat everybody fair, but you don't treat everybody the same. So we know that Patrick Mahomes is not going to be treated like Xavier Worthy, you know, the first-round pick. You know, Patrick's going to have his, you know, his room established. He's going to have his own, you know, routine that he does every single day. And so that's okay. We understand that. We, you know, we're talking about a guy that's been to four Super Bowls in 5 years. I mean, he's earned those stripes. And so, but we know those guys are humble guys too. And that's what I like about Patrick Mahomes, because I think he, you know, he doesn't look like somebody who's arrogant, right? He's not like Aaron Rodgers, if you will, okay? And so, you know, I don't know Aaron Rodgers, but I've heard, you know, conversations about him that, you know, he comes in and he's cocky. He's not somebody that is very easy to communicate with. So that could be disturbing for a young guy.
And plus, too, you know, it's the whole, like, phobia. Like, you know, for it's a first step for them to get in there right away to, like, you know, go to training camp. But then you kind of break it up into two where it's like, oh, I get to meet Mahomes. You know, I get to be around these guys first. And then 3 days later, I got to meet a whole new crop of people. Whereas, like, right away, you send everybody in there together. Everyone's got to get to know each other right at once. I feel like that'd be much easier than having to break it up into two different, like, you know, get to know you kind of conversations and, you know, meeting everybody kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a better relationship established there. You know, for coaches, you know, when you bring everybody into the room, have the same conversation with everybody, same expectations as far as what you want to do as a team. It shouldn't be just one, you know, let's bring the rookies in. We're going to have one conversation with them. And when, you know, the veterans come in, it's a whole different conversation. No, everybody needs to be on the same page day one. So, yeah, I do like that. And I know Andy, you know, he's big on those things too. So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess the one good thing is for, like, the pass catchers aspect of it, you got Xavier Worthy and Wiley kind of getting, like, a little leg up where it's like they get a little bit more one-on-one time with Mahomes. I guess that's one way you could kind of look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is the thing about, you know, this rookie class coming in. I think these guys are going to be able to compete. I think these guys are going to be able to at least give something, right? They're going to be able to get in and actually play. So we're talking about, man, Jared Wiley, okay, tight end, who's going to be able to come in and compete for maybe that second or third tight end spot. We're talking about this, right? These are the challenges that you're looking at in camp. We're talking about the left tackle in itself, okay? Wanya Morris, right, and Kingsley. How's it going to look in camp? Same thing with, you know, corners, or you're looking at wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. And, you know, we don't understand the whole thing with Rashee Rice. It looks like right now everything is going to be pulled back, that they're not going to do anything at this moment. I would be absolutely shocked if they come in and say, hey, look, we need to start, like, an indictment or whatever. Like, you know, I'm just, you know, when camp starts. So yeah. I think they've at least gotten some type of information that this may wait till after the season. I hope it does. So that won't affect that room any. But yeah, when you have those young guys, man, I think these young guys are going to come in, man, and challenge the, you know, the veterans like they should. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking at everybody talking about it. What's up, everybody? I'm the Brown, my man. Look, I'm down here in the beautiful country of Mexico. That's where I'm at. And so it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I'm not in South Florida. You know, I've been to South Florida. I don't know if South Florida looks as beautiful as this. Okay, the times I've been down there, it's gorgeous down there. But this is, man, this is paradise. This is paradise. So
it's a new level.
Yeah.
I told you guys to get your questions in. This is gonna be a shorter show, so JD can get to dinner and hopefully his cell phone doesn't die while he's on here with us. So
I don't think it is. I think I got my family sitting over here, kind of watching me for dinner. So I see Sweetie over here, kind of watching, part of the show. Maybe the rest of the family's watching too. So I want to give a shout out to everybody here, man, that's down here in Maroma. All the people that's been beautiful for us. We have just built a great relationship, my brother and his wife, with the people down here. They're just wonderful, beautiful people who have just been very gracious in everything that they do. And just with, as far as hosts and hospitality, A1. So
that's amazing.
Shout out to them.
It's also too one of those things where you go to a certain vacation spot all the time. That's how they're treating you right, and it's a good time over there. Because when you continue to do something, can't change it up. If it's a beautiful thing, continue doing it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Beautiful people.
So we got a question from Charles Driver. We got two questions from Charles Driver. So one we got: how long is the training camp? So JD, I'm curious about how long it was for you back in the day. So it looks like our summer schedule is, so today you got quarterbacks and rookies report. It doesn't officially start till Sunday, July 21st. And then looks like we have training camp up until Thursday, August 15th.
Okay. So I think ours is around about 5 weeks, when we were doing in camp. And the thing is, man, just the monotony of just being like in the dorm room. And obviously when I was at River Falls and when I was in Philadelphia and Lehigh, there's not really a whole lot to do just in those areas. And I think it's purposely, that's why they take you to those places, right? So you don't get into any type of trouble. Some guys will find it. But yeah, that 5 weeks, man, it kind of, I say maybe about week three is when it really just starts really just weighing on you somewhat, right? Seeing the same old faces, you're hitting the same old guys. And that's why I love when, visiting teams come up. We used to have the Vikings. We used to go to the Vikings until we started fighting every year. That just a different meal threw that out the window. And man, I tell you what, that training camp where we had, who was the Brock Lesnar? Remember Brock Lesnar, right? Yeah. Lesnar was on with the Vikings. Randy Moss. And when I'm telling you, it was a brawl all single practice. It was crazy. Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And so that was a good times, man. That was absolutely good times. So
it's one of those things too with Brock Lesnar for the other team as well. Like if NFL athletes have to have egos, right, JD? So like some guys like that's Brock Lesnar, I want to show him up a little bit. So you're gonna have a little bit of that aspect.
Yeah. Well, look, see, and I kind of think of this kind of the same thing in the same realm like LRZ. It's going to be a little bit of that, too. I mean, because here we got Brock Lesnar that, wrestling obviously carries over into football. It's the same thing like rugby carries over into football on his plane. So guys are going to be challenging, okay, LRZ's played rugby. We've been talking about how tough he is. We're actually going to see with these pads on what he's going to be about, right, if he's a real deal or not. And so I've been going back and forth, Marcus. I was just thinking about this today with people that's been talking about what the best of the best means, in football and rugby and how these are different. And the guy was like, oh, well, how is it? You could be the best of the best in the NFL if football is not worldwide. I said, but if you have specialized guys that's doing this, they got to be the best of the best of it, right? I said, the same argument you made for rugby. If rugby is not picked up here in the United States, who's to say arbitrarily there's somebody who's not as good or a college football player who can go to rugby and then be an elite rugby player, right? So I don't know, man. It's I tell you what, these past few weeks we're talking about LRZ, man. It's been a really good treat. It's been a real good treat, man, talking about this.
But, yeah, it's been fun because that's where our the Chiefs talk goes like worldwide, where it's like we have people from Australia chiming in. Wales, and that's one thing I have been kind of getting back and forth to some of our new subscribers, new followers, when they say, he's the best in the NFL, or you guys, NFL is the NFL, but he's one of the best in the world. And so, well, the NFL is the only Super Bowl country that actually plays football like that. So, I mean, but and they're obviously with the international program, they're looking around the world to get the best of the best to bring into the NFL. And it is the best of the best in the world. It's the best in the world because we are the only ones who do it. And the NFL is scouring. And if they can find a guy who plays football and does it well in Africa or India, anywhere in the world, they're going to find that person. It's going to be the best in the world. I mean, that's why it is the best in the world. And it reminds me of the comment last year by Noah Lyles, the sprinter, when he was making fun of the football for saying world champions of what? It's not the world. It's like, well, technically it is. It's the best NFL players in the world.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I don't know. I think it's a really silly argument. I really do. Just kind of thinking about it. But look, I cannot wait just to see how this training camp is just going to hash itself out, man. I mean, we're talking about there's going to be several challenges as far as knowing who guys are this camp, right? And I'm here for all of it, Marcus. I'm telling you, this is going to be an incredible, exciting, entertaining camp, man. And I can't wait to see it.
So you think that there might be an element of like showing up LRZ from some of the guys, because you talk about the Brock Lesnar-esque of things where like, you know, people want to show him up a little bit to say like, oh yeah, you're a wrestler, but we can still smack you in the mouth a little bit. You think there might be an element of that with LRZ of guys like wanting to say, hey, like, look, like this is a new world for you, buddy, like kind of thing.
There may be one or two guys on the team, but I think because the Chiefs are a family, like John Clifford is talking about, we are a family here on Chiefs Concerns. John, you are absolutely correct. We are a family here. I have no idea what's going on in chat right now, but, you know, whoever's bugging needs to stop bugging. But we are a family, and I think that because LRZ, you know, guys want him – they want him to succeed. You know, I don't think anybody's, you know, doubting him or you know, going against him. I think as far as, like, the opponents, right, that don't know him, okay, because once he became a teammate, he's a teammate. He's a family member. That's how it works with the Chiefs. And that's how it should work with every team. I can't believe if every team doesn't believe that. But at least when we were challenging Brock Lesnar and the Vikings, we wanted to challenge and see how good he was, right? I know the guys out there, Minnesota Vikings, like Brock Lesnar, because when he was making tackles, man, they was enjoying it, hitting him over the head, congratulating him. So, you know, when you become a team, man, that's what it's about, man. You become a piece to a puzzle, and you become family. So that's important.
I mean, it would be fun to have a WWF wrestler on your squad, too. I mean, you get jacked up about that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, and Jonathan Ingram, okay, our starting center at the time. Now, he was a backup center to Casey Wigman. Jonathan Ingram picked up Brock Lesnar and slammed him on his back, okay?
Wow.
So shout out to Jonathan Ingram for that, man. I remember that big brawl we had, man. He absolutely scooped up Brock Lesnar and put him on his back. So,
is that what started the brawl?
No, what started the brawl was it was a cheap shot on Billy Baber, tight end, and they end up hurting his leg, and then Greg Wesley absolutely obliterated Randy Moss, put him up underneath the bleachers. I mean, when I'm telling you, man, took his shoulder pads and everything off, man. G. West ran straight through Randy Moss. And after that, man, it was bedlam. All hell broke loose after that. It's crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. We got a question here from Ghost Hunter. Who do you all think needs to show out in rookie camp? I think he just means that training camp. Who do you think needs to show out, JD? Who needs to show out?
Let me see. Who needs to show out? I don't, you know what, Ghost Hunter, I don't really have anybody specifically. No, I'll give you a name because I think a lot of people are doubting this guy. I'm going to say CEH. I want to see CEH show out, man. So everybody can stop with all the hating on CEH. I think he's a very talented back. And I just want to see that entire position in itself show out. I want to see what these guys got. LRZ is at the position, so we'll know. We'll find out for a fact if he's made of what we think he's made of. We talk about Denarius Prince as another guy, right, Marcus? That, you know, was a friend of ours on the show. We want to see what he's able to do. So I just think, you know, from the running back position, man, I'm going to have my eyes on those guys. And there's several more, you know, I could probably name Irv Smith. I want to see what Irv Smith's going to do, right? Irv is a good tight end, has been in NFL, hadn't really worked out with him because of injuries and whatnot. Can he come in and actually make an impact? I think he can. So those are kind of some of the names, at least for me, right?
Yeah, the entire running back room, I think you kind of hit the nail on the nose in that one. The entire running back room, I mean, yeah, CEH has been there. He's the more proven of everybody else in that running back room. But it's you know, like you said, Keontae Ingram, Denaire Prince, Amani Bailey, LRZ. And there's a lot of guys in that running back room. Everyone's like kind of looking at like who's going to be the one to fill the jet void. Who can do it? You're right on that with everybody in that running back room.
Right, because there's going to be some questions right there. Lewis Cutbirth says, CEH will lose you 8 yards on the third and short. Lewis is always on CEH, man. So, hey, Lewis, I hope he proves you wrong this year, okay? I hope he proves you wrong. I know, you know, you have your, you know, your feeling about CEH, man, but I think he showed a lot last year. So, we'll just have to see. It's funny, though.
Brock Lesnar's daughter at Colorado State University going to the Olympics for USA. Ooh, there you go.
Yes.
Tying to Summer Olympics there with Brock Lesnar. Good job. Good job, John.
Yeah, she's incredible. You know, so I've kind of followed a little bit about what she's been doing in college now, you know.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, this is where I was going to go with it, JD. So you went running back. So I was going to go with the bottom of the receiver room. Will Ross finally match the social media hype? That's the guy I'm going to be looking at. It's the Nico Remigios. It's the Justin Ross. It's those guys I'll be looking at as far as who needs to show out. And I think Ross does need to show out since we did keep him on a team after all the stuff that went on last year. And, you know, he was starting to get more reps. And then that whole thing off the field happened. And now he's back. He's still on the team. So this is time to do his thing. So, yeah, that's the one I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, I do. Me also. You know, I think Ross, man, this has to be his year. He shows out. And I think if he's consistent, he'll be that guy from the fringe guys that'll make it. So, look, he's had a lot of hype with him. We understand that, Rick. And the thing is, if he's getting a lot of looks in practice, then it's going to bode well for him. All he has to do is catch the football. All he has to keep doing is just wowing, you know, the coaches and, you know, obviously the fans. And so that remains to be seen. Hopefully he gets to do it, man. I would love to have a Justin Ross here on the roster, man. And I've slowly become a Justin Ross fan. I think Marcus, you're really the one that kind of got me into, like, really, you know, looking at Justin Ross and kind of believing in him even more. And so I didn't quite know what it was going to be because it was just a lot of questions with him. You know, medically, it was some questions. Physically, it was some questions. And then, of course, when I was saying it's happened with him last year, which is behind him, I'm glad it's still behind him right now, I think he has a chance to thrive if we utilize his skill set. That's the crazy part. That's what the Chiefs have to do. So that remains to be seen. We'll just have to see.
Yeah,
and Remigio, I see John Clifford said Remigio too. So.
Yeah, it's the same thing we talked about with Josh Gordon. Like, you need to put him in the situation for him to thrive. And that's something they didn't really get to do last year when the whole thing happened off the field. So hopefully they can actually exploit what he's good at this year. And hopefully that they can utilize Justin Ross's skill set.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got one question here. We'll probably end it on this one, guys. The sunset's going down over there for JD. And So T Gill 10. So question, do we feel confident at inside linebacker? Ooh, inside linebacker with Willie Gay departure. He was a lethal force. That's something I will say that's not really being talked about at all. We actually barely touched on this. JD, how do you feel about the linebacker room?
I mean, I like it, man. I think they found a guy. I really do. In Drew Tranquil. And then Drew did enough last year just to say, hey, look, you know what, Willie, we appreciate everything you've done. And they was willing to let him walk. And so Cochran also, too, coming in and giving some looks and some plays, did a solid job for us. I think the linebacker position, man, is like one of our top positions as far as on the defense side. As long as, you know, as far as it's going to be the question of depth, right? Willie Gay, then Drew Tranquil, we know we had great depth with that. But Cochran has shown that he could come in and he could hold his own. I think Drew Tranquil and those guys are pretty durable. So I think they'll be able to at least hold up for the entire year. So I don't really worry about that at all. Willie Gay was a talent for us. I mean, he was sideline to sideline, man, could run with the best of them, do all the things athletically. But now he finds himself down in New Orleans with the Saints. So, you know, we had to keep our eye on him, see how he does down there too, Marcus, right? So he's family. Yeah. That's all how right. It works.
The Chiefs Southeast in New Orleans with Saunders and him. As far as linebackers, I like our depth, even the lesser known name guys. You mentioned Jack Cochran, JD, who tore it up for us in the playing time he had last year. Cam Jones, who had a pretty good game. If look at the game they had when Cochran and him were the main starters in that Chargers game at the end of the season. Cam Jones, 11 solo tackles. Cochran, I think, had seven solo tackles in that game. And then you talk about the new guy you brought in, Curtis Jacobs from Penn State, undrafted guy who a lot of people thought he was going to be a fourth-round grade in this draft. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of depth there. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how we do replace Willie Gay, but I think we have the guys in the room who can do that. So that's not too big of a concern for me.
No, me either. Me either. Like I said, I think that's a solid position in itself. But, you know – The guy from Penn State, I think, man, is going to be he's going to be a surprise for us. I think he's going to work out well. Shoot, he could be one of those stars, Marcus, that everybody didn't see coming. You know, really. So, yeah, we just have to see.
We've been known to find those guys for sure. All right, well, that does it for us, guys. We're going to let JD get to dinner here as the sun goes down over there in Mexico. we appreciate everybody joining us for our quick little Monday morning tight end show. We'll be back Wednesday. Look at that. That's beautiful.
Look at that right there. On the beach, man. Gorgeous.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But love you, everybody. And we'll see you guys Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, for a nice little Chief Concern show. This is like the appetizer for the week, JD.
Absolutely. Look, Andrea, Charles, John, it's a little appetizer, a little left appetizer. So I'm going to go in here to meet with my family, come see everybody. We're having like a theme. I don't know if my family mind kind of showing up. That's what I'm looking for. So here's my family.
Here's Liz. Hey, everybody. Everyone.
So that's my family right there, man. But listen, Andre, Wendy, John Clifford, everybody, I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. I'm the Brown. Look, my brother, we know this in Chief Concerns. We love each and every one of you all, okay? Zulu, we're not going to get kidnapped down here. We have too many great friends. Too many great friends, man. It's safe. Rick Henderson, everybody like it. Illy Beeman, good to see you, my brother. Good to see you. So, look, everybody take care. We'll see y'all on Wednesday. Marks, my brother, I love you.
Love you, brother.
And I see you, okay?
Take it easy, everybody. Care. Have a good night, everyone. Love you, JD. Love you guys over there.
Love y'all.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.